Thank you. All right. Welcome everybody to the February meeting of Economic Development Planning, Education, Employment, Arts, and Agriculture. We would like to do our Pledge of Allegiance first.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Clerk Muller, will you please call the roll?
Chair Sperry.
Holden present.
Deputy Chair Litz.
Here.
Legislator Clinton.
Here.
Legislator Corcoran. Legislator Hewitt.
Here.
Legislator Stewart.
Here.
And Legislator Walz.
Here.
We have six members present, one absent.
Okay, I would like the record to show that Legislator Corcoran is not with us because he's living his best life in New Orleans right now. Okay, also a reminder on meeting structure priorities given to committee members for discussion and questions. If there are resolution sponsors here, they will also be given priority. And it is up to the chair's discretion to open questions to non-members of the committee. So first on the docket, we need approval of the December 3rd, 2024 regular meeting minutes.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is resolution number 34, which is supporting an application for the New York State Transportation Grant funding by the Kingston Ulster Airport LLC for the construction of a T-hangar building. This resolution supports the airport's grant application to build a 6-to-8-bay stacked hangar at the Kingston Ulster Airport to provide covered storage for aircraft currently parked outside on the existing apron, and we have Todd.
I'll move it for adoption.
Okay. Do you want to hear from the airport?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Todd.
Hello.
Please tell us everything.
Well,
about from the beginning. Do we start flying?
You make an appointment with Summit Aviation or Richmore, and perfect, they have flight instructors that will teach you how to fly it.
Perfect.
But Kingston Ulster Airport has been looking at ways to expand the business of the airport. One of those ways is to build hangars on the airport and lease those spaces to tenants. There is a shortage of hangar space throughout the Northeast, so they will be filled without any problem whatsoever. New York State had put out this call for grant applications late last year. We decided to go ahead and make the application as part of the application process. We need a resolution supporting it from the county, so that's why we're here.
Awesome. Any questions from the committee? Great. All right, so motion to approve?
I already made that.
You made a full motion to adopt?
I'll second that.
Okay, second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, you have our full support.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming here tonight. And I'll look up the flight lessons.
It's an office with a view.
Great. All right, resolution number 35 is amending capital project number 542, which is HVAC upgrades campus-wide, amending the 2025 capital fund budget for SUNY Ulster. It amends capital project 542 to increase funding by $500,000 for design and construction services for the next phase of the HVAC replacements, including Vanderlyn Hall Theater and the Art Gallery. Questions?
I'll move it for adoption.
No.
No. Oh, we need to, what?
Yeah, Michael will explain.
Who? Oh, Michael wants to say something.
So right now, we're going back and forth. There was a slight revision that is going to have to get needed to be made in reference to what capital program it was a part of. The projects that were presented forward were not the projects listed in the resolution for the capital program 25 to 30. These are projects that were in a previous capital program from the prior years that have not been established yet. So we're coming today to establish the capital project in order to do the project. The $500,000 is for HVAC system for our Vanderlyn building that will be covering the art gallery as well as the theater. And we're trying to get the same type of systems that will all talk to each other and be in one type of system so we don't have multiple systems calling something too, which will come back to this group once we get to the point of entering into a contract in order for the actual design and construction.
Great. Thank you for that information. Legislator Hewitt.
Do you know if there's any insulation required in the construction?
For this particular project, I do not believe so. I believe the HVAC system is on the roof itself, and then we're actually just replacing the unit on top of the roof. I think there's multiple, but I'll double check, and if so, I'll get back to you.
I'm asking because we're now required for county capital projects to consider the use of hemp insulation in county-funded capital projects. So I'm looking forward to the first one.
Yes. So as far as I'm aware of, it does not include insulation.
Thank you.
Okay. So we need to make an amendment to that resolution.
So if I can just...
Yes, please.
I am seeking some clarification from the budget director on whether this reference in the resolution is to SUNY Oyster's capital plan or the county's capital plan. If it's to the county's capital plan, sure. It's correct as is.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm kind of seeking clarification on right now.
Okay.
So it's not completely ironed out.
So in this case, should we circle back to this resolution?
I guess we can have them amend it in ways of meeting.
Yeah.
It could be amended elsewhere if needed.
Okay. So should we move forward as presented? And then if they need to make changes, they can change in another committee in ways and means? Okay. With that being said, is there a motion to adopt?
Did you just say you want to postpone?
No.
Oh, okay.
To postpone this conversation.
Yeah.
I think we should assume the resolution refers to the county's capital program.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I would do. It's in the whereas clause is what we're talking about. It's a whereas clause. It basically references the 25 to 20 to 30 capital program. I think you should assume that it's the county's capital program that we're talking about, because you're amending the county's capital fund budget. You're not amending the
SUNY's.
The SUNY's right. Budget. So I assume the reference in the whereas would follow the proposed amendments and the result.
Amanda? So that would mean that it's correct as is. However, we'll vet this with the budget office, and if it's not, we'll bring it back to me.
Then postpone it.
Are you okay with that? It has to go to another committee.
Correct.
Before we...
Okay with it. I just disagree with the implementation.
Okay.
But I'm
okay.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Michael, for coming.
I don't.
Okay. So that was resolution number 35. So now we're moving on to 37.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So resolution 37 is amending capital project number 654, emergency preparedness, and amending the 2025 to 2030 capital fund budget SUNY Ulster. This amends capital project 654 to increase funding by $1.5 million for the cost of procurement of emergency response equipment and installation services.
I'll move it for adoption.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Michael.
All right.
Resolution number 40 is approving the execution of a contract for $330,000 entered into by the County Repco Inc. and the Department of Planning. This contract with Repco is to administer the septic repair program, and it's a 90% state and 10% county funds. The attached resolution is number 440 from August 20th, 2024, which authorized the contract with the New York State Facilities Corp and the amended budget to accept the $300,000 grant award.
I'll move it for adoption.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Guys, are you okay? Is everybody okay? Yeah. Everybody's so sad. All right. The next one is Resolution 41, approving the execution of a contract for $326,122 entered into by the County and Repco Inc. Department of Planning. The contract with Repco to administer the Leading in Lead pilot program, which is 100% state funds. This came to us from resolution number 214 of May 2024, which authorized the contract with the New York State Facilities Corp and amended the budget to accept the $326,122 grant award.
We'll move it for adoption.
Second.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Resolution number 42 is appointing Benedict Campbell as an alternate member to the Ulster County Planning Board, Village of Ellenville.
I'll move to adopt. 41.
Anybody?
41 was 60. Oh, sorry.
Does anybody want to second the appointment? All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Congratulations, Mr. Campbell. Resolution number 43 is appointing Deborah Hoffer and Michelle Cohen to the Ulster County Planning Board, Town of Hurley. Questions?
Okay. Actually, I'd like to have my name added as a co-sponsor for this
one. Okay, sure. Thank you.
And I move we take a vote on this.
I second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Wonderful. Resolution number 43. That was that. All right. Resolution number 44, scheduling a public hearing as required under Article 25 AAA of the Agriculture and Markets Law on County Agricultural and Farmland Protection Plans to be held on March 18th, 2025 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the public can be heard in providing direct notice to affected municipalities, Department of Planning. This is just scheduling a public hearing on the County Ag and Farm Land Protection Plan.
I'll move for adoption.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Resolution number 45. Authorizing the Office of Employment and Training to submit an application to the New York State Office of Strategic Workforce Development Pay for Performance Grant Program Operating Grants, Office of Employment and Training. This authorizes OET to submit an application to New York State Office of Strategic Workforce Development Pay for funding through the Pay for Performance Grant Program. The grants range from $100,000 to $2 million and requires a 25% match. Sharon is with us this evening. Is there anything you'd like to add? know that the solution is clear. You may remember in 2023, we submitted a request to apply for the grant. It's a very competitive grant. Unfortunately, we did not receive a grant during that funding, and so now we're seeking to resubmit an application. We have been given some more guidance from the Office of
Strategic Workforce Development.
Yes. For performance. Sort of the overhead of ESD has provided us with some insight as to improve our application prospects.
Great. So, what kind of feedback did they give you?
Just some of the criteria. There was a change in what their focus was for the grants versus our focus for in-demand occupations. So the state has an idea of what the state in-demand occupations are. We in Ulster County have a similar, but slightly different, and so we had to modify our grant to fit more in line with the state priorities to be considered more strongly.
Gotcha. Great. Any questions? Is there a motion on the table?
Yes, I'll move for adoption.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Awesome. We hope you get it.
Thank you. Appreciate your support.
Of course. All right. Next is 46. Resolution number 46, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into an intermunicipal agreement with various municipalities for the operation of the Summer Youth Employment Program, Youth Employment Program, Brighter Futures Initiative, and the Young Adult Employment Program, Office of Employment and Training, authorizes intermunicipal agreements for the temporary assistance for needy families, funded Summer Youth Employment Program, and Youth Employment Program. Anybody? Yes?
Discussion.
Okay.
What's the federal reimbursement rate for this program?
That is an interesting question. I do not know that answer for reimbursement. We receive an annual disbursement for the program, and that disbursement is used for the wages of the young people on their work sites. So it's not reimbursement. Per se.
Okay, so Legislator List, do you have a follow-up question?
Yes, I do.
There was two other people.
That I do know in the past it was reimbursed at like $10 an hour. And then we passed in this county a living wage for $15.50. And just this past year, there's a resolution to up that to $17.70. And I asked for an exception in that law to allow you to pay less than $17.70 so you could hire more youth, which is the whole purpose of this program, is work ethic and to hire youth, especially in disadvantaged youth, so they can have a job and gain work experience and that work ethic. Unfortunately, that exception was not included, and I'm going to continually try to do that because the purpose of a living wage in this county is so that people can make enough money to, you know, buy oil to heat their house and food to feed their family and gas to get to work and all of those good things. But typically, the young folks that would take advantage of this program don't have to supply those things because usually they come from a family that is supplying that already. So I would much rather see a lower wage to them so we can employ more rather than just a value that's much less. So I'm very much in favor of this program. And I wish you all the best. I wish the federal government would reimburse you more so you could hire more youth in this county that need to get a job to gain a work ethic.
Thank you, Legislator Litz. I can say that, yes, we agree that that exception would be very helpful
for our department in serving more young people. We do understand the commitment to livable wage in the county, and we do support that 100%. But for the average 15-year-old, yes, that salary might be excessive for their first job. It may actually help us to or enable us to serve less young people, and that's not our goal. We always want to serve more young people, and we would support that. I mean, we're hoping this year to equalize our salaries across all of our youth programs, increasing it to $16.50 an hour across our year-round program, our summer youth employment program, our young adult program, and our Brighter Futures program, so that there is equity across all youth served. But a $17 plus would definitely impact our budget.
But if Ulster County enacts that law, you're going to have to pay $17.70.
We would.
Across
and
the board.
Across the board, and we would have to limit the number of young people that we were able to
and
employ.
That's a shame.
Legislator Stewart.
Thank you, Chair. Since we have both of you present, and I'm looking at Deputy Executive LaValle, at the last committee meeting in Energy and Environment, we talked about youth perhaps being involved in working recycling programs under the working with UCRA and perhaps other county agencies in doing recycling programs and training at the Ulster County Fair and at other events like the Frolic Fest in Saugerties. So is that something that you're working on currently? Is that something that we're definitely in the works, or is that something
we've had initial discussions on that? There would be a lot of a lot of details, like I discussed during the last committee meeting regarding age, also
right.
Timing of events versus the summer footprint of the youth. So we're really just in the beginning of trying to explore whether that's an option. Hopeful
great.
That it would be, because it would be great experience and also create like a team that could go out to events. But there's a lot of details that need to be kind of muddled through.
Well, thank you for that. I just think it would be an awesome thing if we're able to put that into place. So fingers crossed.
I have Legislator Hewitt, then Legislator Nolan, and then Gold.
Would the pause that happened last week be part of the $61 million that would affect our county? Would this program be affected by a pause like that?
There is a possibility, because the TANF funding is federal. And as you've seen in the news, the money that has been allocated to the close of our fiscal year, which would be June 30th, is the program year for the funding, would go through without any problems. But there is a slight possibility that there would be some impact for July 1, which could potentially impact summer youth employment program. We've had no guidance or insight in what that means, what the cost would be, nothing. We're all in a wait and see right now. But yes, possibly.
I'm also very supportive of the program, and I think developing a young person's work ethic is crucial. I think volunteerism is important. Internships that lead to credit is important, and developing a work ethic at home. But I think that as a former landscaping company owner, I found that even 10 years ago, owners wanted to pay $18 an hour for a gardener because they're still thinking about 1980s pricing. Of what you would pay a gardener. And it's 40 years later, they still want to pay $18 for a gardener. And so we have to change our perception, because costs have not kept up with income. The minimum is now $17.70 if we pass this, and we all have to get used to budgeting for that. I'm recommending adhering to Comptroller Gallagher's minimum of $24 an hour. It's more realistic. We know everyone's struggling. Why? It's because we don't make enough money as a society. So I think you have a great point, Legislator Litz, about work ethic, and we have to start getting used to 16 or 17 being the minimum.
Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, I echo the Legislator Hewitt, and I'm glad to hear that the plan is for a salary in the $16 range. And I wonder if the legislature should look at and have conversations with the executive's office about making up the difference. Because I think when you pay youth the same as you pay somebody else doing a job, then you elevate them into the realm of adult. And if they're doing a job that is not reimbursed at those kind of rates, then I think it says it's not a real job. So it's a balancing act. But if we're pretty close, which if you know the proposed budget was in the $16 per hour range, maybe we can look at what that difference would be. I think going to 24 would be hard and would then bring in the concerns that legislator Litz raised of, you know, somehow this is like being paid not to, you know, more than other people get paid. That doesn't seem reasonable. But I really like aiming for whatever else, what the minimum wage is for any other worker in the county.
Commissioner Litz?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to bring up the point that although I like the idea, but this is not for short-term employment. This is for up to 3 months at 40 hours per week. So something like the fair is not appropriate to take out of this this program, because this is to build work ethic, not a one-shot, one-day, four-day job. This is so that they get a work ethic at a 40-hour-a-week job for 3 months.
Any other questions? Is there a motion for adoption?
I will so make that motion.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. All right. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good to see you.
See you as well. I'll be back, I'm sure.
We love having you. We do. Okay, resolution number 47, approving the execution of a contract for $248,275 entered into by the County Medium Giant Company, Inc., DBA Medium Giant, Department of Tourism. This contract is 100% state funds matched, right?
It's an EDA, it's the EDA money that the state received.
Okay.
That they're giving to us.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
To promote Ulster County as an accessible destination from July 1st, 2024 through September 30th, 2025. There, if you guys remember, Lisa made a presentation about this as well as bike packing at the committee's October 28th special budget meeting. So do you guys have any questions on the resolution?
I'll move it for adoption.
Well, I have a couple of questions.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously you just said there's no county match. It's coming from the state. It's EDA funding. Mm-hmm. So there's that. But the timeline is July 1, 2024 to September 30th, right. And we're in February.
Right. What happened is we had gotten instruction from someone in CSD that as long as we were using a properly procured ad agency, we could move it, because this is a marketing grant.
Right.
That we could move ahead.
Sure.
So we started to do that work.
Okay.
And what happened was the comptroller let us know that we did not have this money in the contract that we have.
Okay.
With Medium Giant. And so.
Oh, okay.
So we're amending that contract to include this.
Gotcha.
Oh, this is a brand new contract.
This is a brand new contract.
Yeah. It is a new contract, but they're doing the work.
Gotcha. And so when will do you have any idea of like the rollout of when the campaign is going to be?
Yeah, the campaign's on hold. This is a drawdown.
Okay.
Grant.
Gotcha.
And so everything's on hold.
Okay.
Until we can secure this contract.
Gotcha. So that means that until it goes through the legislature and gets passed and approved, that means that it'll get secured and then they'll start working on the campaign.
Yep.
Okay. And so does that mean that the dates of the contract will change? Or is it, like, is the contract going to be?
We have the contract backdated to the point where, like, Medium Giant developed that presentation, developed our campaign. That's what that was backdated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now that there is an arts, culture, and open spaces director in your department, will that person allow us to keep our tourism dollars locally and promote tourism to Ulster County residents? It's a brand new position.
Yeah.
It's a hard question.
No, I'm looking at Amanda.
I was just asking about
the arts and culture position. Is it a question about whether or not they will be? So let me just answer that I have not seen a position description.
Yes, yes.
So all I can say is, as being part of the process of this, you know, of creating the master plan, there has always been conversation about the fact that an arts and culture director position would have an internal audience, meaning residents, youth, and businesses within the county, as well as an outward focus. So the tourism department is outwardly focused. It works to maintain the tourism economy, which relies on people coming from outside the area.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
And I look forward to seeing the job description, so we'll have more clarity then. Yeah. Thank you.
And just a quick question, I think. The bike packing campaign, that's
not part of this.
Yeah, it's separate.
Yeah, that's not part of this.
Okay.
What you guys saw were intent, like ways that we expected to be moving, and, you know, truthfully, some of the things that we had planned on doing for accessibility we're moving forward with anyway, regardless of whether or not we had gotten a grant, we would be moving in that.
Mm-hmm.
What it allows us to do
mm-hmm.
is to advertise that we're someplace that wants people who are differently able
mm-hmm.
to come here.
Yeah.
And that currently may be lost in the branding that we've created.
Sure. Okay. Great. And we should also make sure that that's happening in step with the Think Differently campaign rollout and all of those initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to share, like, I'm a little worried about the bike packing campaign in a county where we're having so many pedestrian fatalities. So I want to make sure that we're taking care of those issues before we start saying, hey, come bike here.
And to that end, I foresee so this is stepping back into my regular budget, not this one. I foresee us working with Medium Giant to develop a pedestrian and bike ped safety campaign. Dennis saw some of the concepts that the team had come up with previously, and they're all the way fleshed out. They just needed they needed attention, and mm-hmm. they need to be part of what we're focused on. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's an everyday occurrence.
Yeah. Legislator Nolan.
Just on that subject, I would say that if we're doing or have the idea to do something that would involve making biking accessible, we do have areas in the county where individuals can stay completely on off-road paths, off-road trails that are surfaced, that are safer. And that is, of course, much, much better if you're talking in terms of making accessible, but it's also true for all the cyclists and pedestrians. When we have separated off-road trails, that's not where these accidents, or these crashes, we should say, where the crashes are occurring. The crashes are occurring on our roadways. And when you have 365 horsepower vehicles and large, very large vehicles on roadways where you have unarmored pedestrians and cyclists, crashes are tragic.
Mm-hmm. I think that some of it, and we saw it in the concepts that the team had done that they showed to Dennis. I think that some of that is educating people who are visiting, like what our culture is and what our expectations are. And I think that that's kind of where we're having some of the difficulty. And, impatience is rampant, and that's causing a lot of problems. But a good campaign might be.
Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I do agree that it's a real problem. And no matter how many safety studies we ask the DOT to do in Mount Tremper or Rosendale, the result is the roads are dangerous and every intersection is dangerous. And until we figure out how to have, I believe, fixed rail again on all vehicles, we have 360 degrees of contact around us, whereas fixed rail has in front and behind. So I think we were done wrong by General Motors when they removed all of our trolley lines from our country. Thank you.
Thank you. Legislator Stewart and then Legislator Collins.
I was just wondering, how large of a role does our trail network play in your advertising campaign?
So, I'll be honest, trails are a large part of what we do. Ulster County's competitive advantage is that we are an outdoor destination with a remarkable rail trail system, as well as connected carriage trails that allow people of all abilities to get out there. And we've really maximized that message. And I just came back from Chicago, where 75 miles of connected rail trails actually caught the attention of people who have an incredible rail trail system. They didn't know that that was in New York. So, and they all come to Cooperstown, in case you were wondering. I learned so much going to Chicago. I do think that our trails network is important, but I also think the trail network is important. This gets back to the accessibility grant. It's important for people who this might be their first exposure to being outside, is being able to be someplace where the grade is 2%, not going to be greater than 2% for the most part. Right. And then it allows them perhaps a chance to see other things that they might want to explore and do. The Catskills trailheads can be pretty dangerous and pretty difficult to do if you don't have a background in it. And, I think that that our rail trail system plays a really good role in that.
When you say the Catskills Trailheads, you mean the backcountry trails?
Yeah, the peaks can be very, they can be challenging.
Absolutely.
You might not even get back to your parking place. You have to know what you're doing.
Legislator Collins.
I just want to mention that the next meeting of the Ulster and Delaware Undesignated Corridor Committee will look at that corridor as a possible transit corridor in addition to just being a trail.
Any other questions?
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Okay.
You go day by day.
Basically, it's the last Thursday of
February.
Last Thursday of March.
24th of it.
20th.
All right. Is there a motion?
Yeah, I mean.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Approach made. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
So there are various reports and communications that have been put in the OneDrive. Please note the invitation from the IDA to attend their information session targeted to businesses in the county, which is tomorrow. At SUNY New Paltz, you guys should have in Vanderburg Hall. You guys should have received this email, but they're doing an event tomorrow. And then they also have another event next month.
No, I think it's later this month.
Later? Okay, all right. Well, just whatever.
I'm there tomorrow. I assume you're going to be there?
I'm going to be there.
Awesome.
I'll be there.
And you missed the second meeting in the same focus?
Different focus. It's really the focus of that one is for municipalities and how the IDA can help support municipalities and that kind of stuff. There's also a document from the Soil and Water Conservation District, which was their 2024 annual report of accomplishments, soil health twilight meeting photos, and their winter 2025 newsletter. You guys have been busy over there at Soil and Water.
We're going to be busier this year.
Don't act so excited about it. Legislator Stewart.
I was just wondering if you could maybe give us an update on how things are going with the water coordinating, the watershed coordinating.
Well, we are very, very maxed out right now with at least 8 agricultural projects this year, one $3.5 million stream restoration project, 6 riparian planting projects. So we're really, you know, I had some honest discussions with the staff and we're spread very thin.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't really had a lot of time to devote to this position. I've been in discussions with Dennis. We're in an issue with our office. We are co-located with the NRCS. We can't have any more staff there. There's been a lot of rapid changes in the last 2 weeks and we don't have any tech support for now. So we're trying to navigate through this, but it's been a lot for the district. And the staff told me if we could help, but other projects may lack. So the only way we could really be supportive if we had at least 3 projects drop out this year so we could devote time. So I'm trying to work with everybody, but I feel a little overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I can add to that. A couple of things. One is you recognize the fact that there was money put in the budgets to essentially enable the county to pay for increased capacity at the Soil Water Conservation District. And that portion of that funding, 50% of that, would be revenues coming from the Hudson River Foundation, which is holding money from an order on consent with respect to the Corps Opus. We now have a watershed coordinator's duty statement position ready through. It's been reviewed. We believe it's ready to go.
That's great.
We have a draft contract in discussion with the Soil and Water Conservation District, recognizing the fact that absent staffing from their perspective, that very difficult to implement if capable at all with respect to that. We've got to go some back and forth with respect to the task list has been settled on. Now the question is, how do you pay on the task list? The next question that we have has to do with what's the comfort level for the Hudson River Foundation as it relates to how we're paying for this and what documentation do they need? But all of that is an active conversation, and hopefully recognizing the fact that resolution deadlines sneak up on us. But my understanding, Jake, is you did advertise for the position.
Yes.
Yeah, so we do have an advertisement out for the position as an opening. So with all of that.
I understand you have like 6 or 7 applicants at this point.
I don't know. I mean, that's obviously, it's up to the Soil and Water Conservation District. But the key in my mind is that we have, there's a lot of nuts and bolts. They're all sitting in a parts list, and we just have to put them together. And I think that's going to come together fairly rapidly, and we'll be able to move something, hopefully, with agreements that move from discussions where everybody's on the same page to essentially contract language. And we think that that's possible, hopefully for the March deadline, for the resolution deadline, where we would have contracts, recommended contracts for 2 things. One, it would be a recommended contract between the county and the Hudson River Foundation for the money to come in, right, and that's 50% of the funding. And then the other would be essentially a contract between the Soil and Water Conservation District and the county relative to the work to get done. But we appreciate Jake's attention, even though we're stealing his time, so to speak, with respect to working with us on that. And we understand that this is a capacity-driven issue. With respect to workspace, we've had conversations relative to workspace both at the Soil and Water Conservation District, understanding that Jake wants to keep some eyes on his staff, particularly new staff.
Right.
And then secondly, with respect to within this building, we've had conversations where we could put somebody in this building. And we think we have that worked out. We have a place for that individual to work in this building as well.
Yeah, concurrently, we're entering into a $17 million contract with New York City DEP. I'm trying to backfill a project manager, so we are short of staff on our end. So we have a lot going on now. I mean, when we had the initial discussions back in the summer and fall, we did have a project manager, and then he went back to his old job, and we're trying to fill that position too. So that's where I'm at. So we're almost there.
Yeah, I would just say that I appreciate everything that the executive director and the director of planning have said, and I think that the county has shown real understanding of the stresses of trying to stand up this new position. And so to the extent there's administrative support and this, all of this logistic and physical space, that support is going to make this happen and is really critical to making it happen. I really appreciate that. It's really been a lot of people pulling together when it has not been easy.
So much to do, so little time, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, is there any new business? Any old business? Oh, Director Doyle, do you have new or old business?
I just wanted, this is a cautionary sort of discussion with the committee, and it started with Legislator Hewitt. The changes that are taking place at the federal level are rapid and they're deep. And a couple things we should be aware of. One is the fact that there are a lot of people in the services organization supporting the least of us essentially are highly dependent upon federal funds. We've reached out to some of those organizations and asked them what's their exposure. So you need to be aware of that fact that there is some exposure here, and it may be deep and it may be profound. The second piece of that has to do with the fact that your existing contracts and your contract templates, you should be aware of the fact that there is a clause in those contract templates that says that if the federal funds don't come through, you can get out of the contract. So kudos to the county attorney's office and contract management. We provided essentially with all of our contracts, there's that clause that essentially if they're partly federally funded and those federal funds disappear, that effectively we may end up in a situation where we can cancel those contracts or move to essentially reduce the scope of those contracts coincident with the federal funds that are available. So we're seeing a lot of that. We're seeing some guidance coming out from USDOT with respect to available funds. We haven't seen any guidance with respect to HUD. We do have some HUD grants out there, community development block grant funds. We have CDI funds out there, congressionally directed spending initiative funds out there. Some of those portals are closed. We can't access them anymore. So we're in for some disruption. We don't know what's going to come out on the other side, but everybody should. I'm asking basically from our perspective is there's some tolerance with respect to when we tell you we don't know, we literally don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Is the purpose of canceling those contracts so they don't become frozen, the staff?
No. We're looking at this on the situation where effectively that you have a scope of services. I'll give you an example with respect to the Transportation Council. We write scope of services that Transportation Council funding for that is basically 100% federal money. We would move to essentially if those funds are rescinded or somehow recaptured, we'd look at those funds to say, well, what do we have available? What scope do we change versus essentially trying to cancel the contract? The main thing is it's in those contracts that we have the ability to essentially to move to change them on the basis of federal funding availability.
Thank you.
I did forget one thing. Mm-hmm. I wanted to let the committee know that the occupancy tax looks like it's going to be 1.6, almost 1.7 over projected for 2024. So that was new, and I Love New York is filming a winter commercial at Rockinghorse Ridge.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
Cool. There you go.
Great.
That's the two things.
Thank you. All right. Anything else?
We need more of that.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Second.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Have a nice life.